Let's pray together. Lord, may that be our song from the bottom of our heart. Knowing you, there's no greater thing in this world is knowing you. We want to know you deeper. We want to know you more. We want more of you. So, Father, would you please give us this divine hunger in our heart that we want to know more of Christ, not only just intellectually, but also emotionally and spiritually. Father, we are a whole bunch of people that are unworthy of your grace, but yet you still send forth your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. We give thanks to you. We know that we are sinners. We know that by our own might and by our own merit, we cannot pull ourselves from this pit, this deep abyss that we are in. But you have reached out to us, and you have rescued us. Not only you reach out to us and rescue us, that you restore our relationship with the Holy God, our Heavenly Father. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you. But we know that the other side of this gospel is also compelling us to be ambassador of love, to be ambassador of the truth, to be ambassador of the grace of the cross. So, Lord Jesus, may today you work in our hearts and receive all the glory and honor that is all yours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you please remain standing as I read today's scripture to you? I'm reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 31 to 38. This is the passage that our guest speaker, Dr. John Ong, chose to share with us today. The title is Sower and Reaper. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 31 to 38, and I'm reading from the ESV translation. This is the Word of God. John chapter 4, verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white and for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. I send you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. This is the Word of God. You may be seated. I want to take a few minutes to introduce our guest speaker today. As you know that this weekend is our mission conference, our annual mission conference. And Dr. John Ong is our guest speaker. Dr. John Ong has a lot of title. I'm sure that one name card probably cannot print all these things. He is the president of the Malaysian Baptist Theological Seminary. And he also a CEO of an organization that he found is called Huaxia. It's a organization that partner with a lot of mission organization, churches, individuals to advance the project of mission in different places in the world. And I also, through conversation, I know that he's also very active in training and discipling missionaries and God's workers. But you know, all these titles, one day we're going to lay it down before our King and our Lord when we see him. But one thing that struck me very dear to heart and also touched my heart, it was his sharing on Friday night. He said, I still remember 34 years ago when he was 18 years old, now I'm giving you the age. 34 years ago when he was 18 years old, wearing a t-shirt, shorts and sandals, passed by a mission conference in Malaysia. He heard the news, he heard the message, he went in there, he was the only one who ran to the front of the altar and respond to the message saying that I'm willing to devote my life. If you want me to stay in this island, I stay. If you want me to go, I go. And Dr. Ong has been honoring his commitment to God. And I think that marks a God's servant, a heart willing to be used by God no matter what, where, when, and how. So with all the respect to not only to Dr. Ong, but also to our God who call his servant to make a difference in this world, we turn the time to Dr. Ong right now. Dr. Ong.
Thank you. Yeah, I was very young that time, and I have to convince you that I'm still very young today, and looking young as well. I would like to begin the message by asking you a question. What is the main thing in your life? What is the main thing in your life? I asked this question while my son was 10 years old, and he is now 20. And he answered me by saying that the main thing is to make the main thing the main thing. Because he always forget what is the main thing in his life. And I do believe that this may be the key questions in our life. What is the main thing in your life? Your study? Your work? Your romance? Your girlfriend? Your boyfriend? The main thing is to love Him. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Is to love Him with all the strength of our being. And that is the main thing in our life. While I was young, a senior Christian came to give me some advice. He counseled me. And he told me this, that as a young man and young Christian, you must be very careful of the temptation. And the temptation, so-called the 3 G's, temptation. I know you know what are the 3 G's, temptation. Gold, girl, glory. And he said that this is very dangerous to you. And later, someone else came. And he told me that 3 F, dangerous, the finance, the female, and the fame. And then later another one said the 3 M's, the money, the man. He said man is more dangerous to you than women. And the might. And how about the 3 P's, the property, the passion, and the power. What I'm going to tell you today is the main thing in your life is not the 3 G's, nor the 3 F, or 3 M, or 3 P's. The main thing in our life is God Himself. And we have to love Him with all our heart. And to do His will. And that is revealed in this passage. John chapter 4. You see, while the disciples went to the town to look for food, Jesus was sharing the good news with the Samaritan woman. So when the disciples came back with the food, when they saw Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman, they were surprised. In fact, they were not so happy, because they thought that this is not the thing that their Lord should do. But when the Samaritan woman left, went back to his hometown, her hometown, and to tell the wonderful and marvelous things that Jesus has done to her life, the disciples came and approached Lord Jesus to present Him the food. And they thought that all the questions may not be important. And our Lord may be just too hungry. So He is doing something that He do not understand. So we have to feed Him. So they offer Him the food and say, "Rabbi, eat something." I think when we are hungry, food may be the number one thing that we are looking for. Am I right? Huh? Are you hungry? We have a saying that hungry man is angry man. So I hope that you have taken some food this morning. And we also know that hungry people do not have ears. When they offer food to Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, they were surprised because Jesus said that I have food to eat that you know nothing about. So they asked and they said to each other, could someone have brought him food? And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish, to complete his work. And that is the food of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus desired to do his will, desired to do God's will, just as a hungry man desires for food. Because that is the main thing in his life, and that is the will of God. And this morning, I just want to remind you that the main thing in your life is to do his will. His will is eternal. All the things in this world will wane and will not exist anymore one day. But the will of God will stand forever. You see, we are Christian, and many Christians still being tempted by the world and all kinds of temptations so that we are not focused in our daily walk with Christ. Many Christians are distracted from the main thing, that is to honor him, to love him, and to follow him. And we thought that our satisfaction maybe is not from the word, maybe it's not from him, but it's from the world. So we are looking for satisfaction in the world. We are deceived. There's a brother, a young brother. He had a very strange dream. I want to share with you his dream. He dreamed that one day he went up to the heaven. But he is not automatically been allowed to enter the gate of the heaven because there are long queue. And Peter is doing the inspection, security check. Want to make sure that all these people, they have the spiritual ID. So that they, while he was there, there are so many people, because many people, they have problem with their ID. They may have the baptism certificate, or they are a member of certain church, but they have problem in their life. So while waiting, he said that maybe I should find something else to do. I don't want to just waste time standing here. So he walked around, and there was a carnival. Still have carnival before, just right in front of the gate of the heaven. And then he visited one store and then a store after the other. And he was attracted by one particular store, and that is organized by a travel agent. Especially one special package that name, one-day tour to hell. One-day tour to hell. So he started to ask himself, yeah, I'm going to heaven very soon. But I don't have the opportunity to visit the hell. Maybe this is the last opportunity that I should take. So he have the deal with the man there, and then he paid something, and then immediately he was brought to a very special machine, and zoom, immediately he was being brought to the hell. And Satan welcomed him and took him to a banquet with all kind of food, Chinese food, Western food, Malaysian food, wines, beauties, Miss Universe, Miss Malaysia. I'm so sorry that there are so many Miss Universe and Miss Malaysia there. Okay. So he enjoyed the time with Satan. And then after a few hours, he thought that maybe I should go back. Yeah, go back to the queue. So he told Satan, I think I have to go now. But do you think I still can come back? Satan said, yes, you can come back anytime. So he went back, zoomed back, continued his skill. And there are still so many people. So he continued to ask and he doubted. Heaven. How is heaven? I don't know. But hell, I had experience. And that was good. If this is hell, I'd rather spend my eternal life in hell. So he went forward and told Peter that, bye-bye, I surrender my number, bye-bye. So he went back and then went into the machine, zoom again, went to the hell. Satan said, welcome, welcome. And Satan brought him to the fire. Where? He will be suffer. And the suffering never ends. So he complained. He complained. Satan, I am being cheated. You deceived me. Satan said, yes. Yes, of course. Don't you know your pastor did tell you? And you still have a deal with me? He said, why? Why double standards? Why the treatment? When I came the first time and the second time, there was so much different. Satan said, of course it's different because first time when you came in, you came with Vista Vista. But now, you came to join SPR, permanent residency. I think many Christians, they are tempted. We thought that the world will bring us satisfaction. But Jesus says, only His will, only the will of God will be forever, everlasting. And that is the main thing in Jesus' life and also the main thing in our life. That is to do His will and to finish His task. My brothers and sisters, do you see this as the main thing in your life? Jesus said that don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. But I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And we know that in Greek, he said the field is white, is white. Jesus is not focused on the field that planted, but he is focused on the people. During that time, the Samaritan woman has shared the good news with her people. And these people, a group of people, they were amazed and they want to come to know Jesus. So while Jesus was talking with the disciples, the Samaritans, they came from far. So I can imagine that the whole group, they are running towards Jesus and they wear, they clothed themselves in white 2,000 years ago. The harvest is white. And do you realize that the harvest is ripe? The harvest is white. The harvest is black. When I minister to the Middle East, the women, they are all in black. The harvest is yellow. The harvest is ripe. And Jesus wants us to grasp the opportunity to share the good news with them. And that is the main thing. That is the main thing in our life. We have the assurance of eternal life. But there are so many people, they need it. They do know. We have to tell them, we have to help them. We have to pursue them. We have to bring them, come, to the gospel, to the Lord Himself. But unless we have the convictions that this is the main thing, otherwise, we are not going to invest our time or energy or our money in doing the mission for God. There are many people, missionaries, servants of God. They pay the price in sharing the good news. They have labored. And now, Lord Jesus, allow us to enjoy the fruits of their labor. That's why He said, I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. You see, others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. I've traveled around. Yeah, Pastor did mention that in 34 years, by God's grace, I still continue to live in this beautiful island of Penang. But God gave me the opportunity to travel to over 70 different countries to minister to more than 100 different people groups. Many times when I went there, I thought I want to sow. But God surprised me by giving me the opportunity to reap the harvest. Because there are many people have labor, they pray, they invest, they do all kinds of works to prepare the soil, to prepare the heart of the people. And God allowed us to reap their labors. For the last 20 years, I spent much time in doing the mission work in China, as well as the mission work in the Middle East. You know, one thing that really challenged me, and that was during the 9/11. On 9/11, I was in Jordan, ministering to the unreached people group along the Jordan River. And the day after 9/11, I went to Egypt. From Cairo, I went up to Alexandria. By God's grace, together with my co-workers, we planted a church there for the Egyptians. I still remember one day, one afternoon, when I did the visitation. The Egyptian, the host, treated me with coffee. I love coffee. And then while I'm drinking coffee, he just took up a small bottle which contained of sugar. And he asked me, to see what was printed on it. And I read, "Made in China, in Alexandria." One Egyptian co-worker saw me his bag, also printed there, "Made in China." And then my friend invited me to his house. There are so many things decorated. And he just picked up one and saw me. And you know what printed? "Made in China." And later he asked me one question, which I cannot forget. He said, "You are Chinese, you are very clever and know how to make money. Your things, your products, all made in China, but we'll be able to see it, to find it, even here. But why? I never encounter a Chinese missionary." He said, "I met the American missionary. I met the British missionary. And recently I met the Korean missionary. But why? You have the largest population in the world. And why I never encounter a single
Chinese missionary. So I cannot forget this. I went back to Malaysia. I went back to Penang. I prayed to God. Oh God, what should I do? What should we do? And this is what God showed me. Made in China. And this is revealed by God. It's not working here. We know that God has raised up China. About 12 years ago, I went to Korea. I linked up some mission partners. And one Korean senior church pastor told me that they would like to invest their energy to help China. I asked him why. He said that because we Korean, we want to change the world, but we cannot because we are just too small. Of course, he didn't know that the Korean culture is even conquered the world now. The K-pop, the kimchi, the girls' generation, and Samsung Galaxy, which is so competitive to iPhone, Apple. He said that we want to change the world, but we are just too small. But China is big enough. So if we partner with them, we help them at this stage, and they can change the world. China. Yeah. It's become rich. Yeah. I think you believe that China is rich, huh? Yeah, their government never shut down. Okay. And you think this is Hong Kong? No, this is the Chongqing in China. You think this is Sydney? No, this is the Qingdao. You think this is London? But this is Shanghai. China is the number one in terms of amount in foreign reserve. And they are the second one in terms of highest in gas consumption. And they are also the second in terms of highest economic production. Do you really know China? We may not really know China. The city map has to be changed every 3 months. And this is the advice that I give to my friends when they plan to visit China, especially Beijing and Shanghai and some of the big cities. I ask them, when you look for a map, you have to look for the map that printed within 3 months. Not only the years, but the month. And in the last 15 years, China has built more than 800,000 kilometers of highways, which can round the earth more than 19 times. They have the largest seaport in the world. They have the longest bridge. And they have built more than 1,000 kilometer railway track above 5,000 meter high land. They concentrate in developing the manpower intellectuals. And many are sent to be trained in Harvard, in Yale, in Cambridge, in Oxford, and university in Japan and Korea. Yeah. They messed up the Princeton. Okay. They want to nurture and educate their leaders, the young people, who is able to think, to manage, and to be international. There are more than 20 million university students. The first few slides, in fact, were prepared by the Taiwanese. But this slide was prepared by an American a few years back. And he said that the 25% of the population in China with the highest IQs is greater than the total population of North America. The translation for teachers are, they have more honors cakes than we have cakes. And they say that China will soon become the number one English-speaking country in the world. He made some research before the Beijing Olympic. Okay. But of course, now you know that, China people do speak English, but their English is very different. If you took every single job in the U.S. today and shifted it to China, it still would have a labor surplus. You try to name this country, which is the richest in the world, which has the largest military, which is the center of world business and finance, which has the strongest education system, which is the world center of innovation and invention, which currency is the world standard of value, and which has the highest standard of living? England. In 1900. USA. Today, 50 years later. How about today? I think it's still USA. But about 10 years later, many people say that it may not be USA anymore. And this slide is prepared by Taiwanese. Is they facing the challenges from China? Someone say that. Don't worry, don't be afraid, but we have to take it seriously. Okay? Mm-hmm. What will be the spiritual condition of China 10 years later? And this is what I concern. You see, in the history, when God raised up big nations, the Rome, England, USA, the gospel was spread. The message of salvation has been brought to every corner of the world. And now I do believe that if God raised up China, China thus has the same mission. But what can China contribute? The communists would not be able to contribute spiritually. Mission to China, gospel to China for the last 200 years. And now is the time for mission from China. The China people has to learn to go out to share the good news, to give, rather than to continue to receive. And this is the vision. Made in China. Missionaries made in China. You see, after the 911, the incident, I pray to God. God, there are so many people invested their life and their energy, their money, their children, and send them to China. After 200 years, the churches there are growing. Many people received the salvation. And now is the time that if we can help them to train their people and send them out, and they will be able to influence the world. And this is my dream, that all the tribes, all the people in this world, they will one day telling us that they have met missionary made in China. But of course, I share this on Friday. The advantages when we do things in China, the quantity will be guaranteed. Okay. And also they make it fast. But the problem is the quality. So we must be very careful on this. They used to have slogan, try to impress people, but they may not have the real ministry. God has a great plan for China. And let's participate in this plan and let's contribute in the most strategic ministry to build out the missionary standing church in China. Gospel to China for the last 200 years. Gospel in China, God has demonstrated His mighty power in China through gospel. And now is the time for gospel to be carried out from China to reach the whole world.
And this is the will of God. And this is the promise of our Lord Jesus. I see this verse 38 as the greatest promise God, Jesus, has given us, given to today's church in terms of mission. Because Jesus said, I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefit of their labors, you see.
In today's mission fields, we have missionaries share their tears, share their blood. And now you are called to be their partners and to help them, to work together with them. In fact, the most difficult work have been done, have been done. That's why we're prepared. And now God sent you to reap what you have not worked for. And are you willing to go? Are you willing? Some of you, your church missionary, they were sent out to the mission fields. And you do go to visit them during your vacation. You organize short-term mission trips. You spend a week or two. They labor, but you go to enjoy what they have labored. But it is okay. It is biblical. Okay. It is promise. Because when we go to visit them, to support them, to encourage them, they will feel encouraged. And they can continue to serve faithfully. You see, in world mission, you have choice. There are some people being sent out and you have to support them. Or you go, then we support you. You do have choice to go or not to go. God has sent His only Son, Jesus, to die for us. And not only to die for us, but to die for the world. And the one who reaps, draw a wage, and harvests a crop of eternal life. The one who sow and the one who reap will be glad together. You will experience the joy in harvesting. If you obey His will and do His will, try to finish His work during these end times. Jesus promised you that you are going to experience the joy in harvesting. We thank our God. We are sinners. We are not deserved. But He gave us His only Son that brings us hope and assurance for eternal life. So you know that whatever happened in this world, we have peace deep inside our heart. And our place in heaven is a guarantee. I want to tell you something that really happened in the church. During one Sunday service, after the singing and worship sections, that the young pastor, they came out. He came out. He said that before I preach, I would like to invite our senior brother come forward to share a testimony, because today is a very special day to him, and today is the 20th anniversary of his son who died and went back to be with the Lord. The senior brother came forward. His face is shining with glory. His eyes reflecting hope and peace. He said, yes, it is already 20 years. My son left and to be with the Lord. And I have made appointment with him that I'm going to meet him up in the heaven. And I believe that this day is drawing near. He said that 20 years ago, same day, my son invited his friend to go out for boating, and I went together with them. They were at one boat and I was at the other. While we enjoy ourselves, and suddenly a big wave and current came, and they suffer because the wave turned their boat upside down and the current pushed my son to one side and pushed his friend to the other direction. Both of them do not know how to swim. I was standing in my boat and I was struggling because I have to decide to save my son or to save his friend. After a few seconds, I turned to my son and I shouted to him, "Son, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you die today, you'll go up to heaven. But your friends is a non-believer. If he died today, he will spend his eternity in hell. Son, I want to make an appointment with you, and I promise you that one day I will meet you up in the heaven, son. Goodbye." He said goodbye to his son. And then he jumped into the water, swam towards his son's friend. After sharing this senior brother, he has some tears coming out from his eyes. But his face is even more glorious because he's a full confidence and hope. He said, "Yes, I promise my son I'm going to meet him up there. And I'm waiting. I know that this day will come very soon." He went back to his seat. You know, immediately after he sat down, a group of young people came from behind, surrounded him, scolded him, rebuked him. They say this to him: "Do you know, as a father, it is totally unethical for not saving his own son? You don't deserve to be a father." They scolded him. He didn't say anything. He just looked at them with compassion, with smile, and then he closed his eyes. He prayed and blessed these young people. The young pastor came forward, stood up, and this was what he said. He said, "Brothers and sisters, we cannot understand why our brother decided not to save his own son, but to save his son's friend. Just like us, that we cannot understand why our Heavenly Father decided not to save his one and only son, but to save us sinners." He said, "I myself cannot understand. But I am full of gratitude and appreciation. Because today is not only the day of the 20th anniversary of his son for going back to be with the Lord. But it is also the 20th anniversary of my salvation. I am his son's friend." He said, "I shall end my sermon, but this is the question that I want to ask you. Because we are same. We cannot understand why God decided not to save his own son, but save me, save you, save us. What we can do is to do his will And that is to carry the message of salvation to the world. Because only by doing this, we are going to please Him and to satisfy Him. And this is the only purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us. Are you willing to do so? Are you willing? Let's pray. You respond to God. What is the main thing in your life? The main thing is to love Him and to do His will. And the will and His plan, His work, is spelled so clearly in this passage, that is to go, to sow, and to reap, because the harvest is ripe. Are you willing? Are you willing? To give, to pray, to go. Are you willing? You respond to God in your heart. Heavenly Father, we are not worthy. We are not deserved. But we thank You for Your salvation and for Your love. And now we want to tell You that we want to do Your will. We thank You for loving us so much. What we can do, there's only one thing that we can do to respond to Your love. That is to tell others about this story of love. And make You known, make Your love known to all tribes and all people. Use me, Lord. Use us, Lord. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.